The Ron Insana Show. Money. Power. Politics. Insana.
Ron Insana.
You're locked on the Ron Insana Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ron Insana Show. Is the Republican leadership on Capitol Hill on the run? House Majority Leader Tom DeLay indicted for fraud and criminal conspiracy to launder money in Texas. Senate Majority Leader Tom Frist being investigated by the SEC for alleged insider trading, selling shares out of his blind trust of Hospital Corporation of America, HCA, a health care company started by his father some 9 days before the company warned of disappointing profits. DeLay, whose close friend Jack Abramoff was recently arrested for alleged shady business dealings, says his indictment is nothing more than a blatant political partisanship act perpetrated by a fanatic engaging in the politics of personal destruction, the latter phrase ironically used by Bill Clinton during Monica Gate. Now, Senator Frist says he sold the stock to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest, since he would be helping to shape any future health care reform legislation that might affect the firm in which he sold shares. Now, is the Republican leadership sinking under the weight of hubris and moral misconduct, or is it all just a vast left-wing conspiracy? The number to call, 1-866-897-4-RON, 1-866-897-4766. Joining me now in what will very likely be an explosive debate is Ann Coulter, conservative commentator and author of How to Talk to a Liberal If You Must, and Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, a liberal that Ann must talk to today. Thank you both for joining me. And Ann, let me start with you. What do you make of all this stuff? Is it all just a sham?
Well, not all of it. I haven't looked at the charges, but it looks like Abramoff is in trouble.
Yeah.
Lobbyist. He's not part of the Bush administration. He's not on Tom DeLay's staff.
Although Mr. DeLay called him a very close personal friend.
Is that the level of criminality required for Republicans? We could have been.
It was during Travelgate, though, wasn't it?
We could have put Clinton in prison before he was out of the crib, if that were the standard. But yes, that is what Democrats think the standard is for Republicans. They've been after Tom DeLay since 1993. They've had filed innumerable ethics charges against him. In fact, what was happening was outside groups were filing ethics charges against DeLay. The House Rules Committee actually had to pass a rule saying you have to be a member of Congress to file an ethics complaint. He wasn't charged with anything for those. There have been six grand juries by what I think any fair-minded person would say is a very partisan prosecutor, in Texas particularly.
Let me stop.
Other examples, but yeah. His witch hunt against a sitting United States Senator, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, I think is tells you all you need to know.
Brad, you agree with anything Ann said?
Well, of course not. I don't know where she gets the idea that he is a fanatical partisan, other than that seems to be Tom DeLay's defense for all of this. The fact of the matter is Ronnie Earl has prosecuted, I believe it's 12 Democrats and just 3 Republicans prior to this whole Tom DeLay mess. So,
those are my numbers as well that I saw today, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so...
Can I respond to that?
Let me give Brad a little more time to comment, Ann, and then I'll come back to you, sure.
I mean, what these guys do, and it's remarkable to see this Republican Party right now, who used to parade around and claim that they were in favor of the rule of law. All of a sudden, they don't seem to give a damn about the rule of law, and when they can't defend themselves, which seems to be quite frequently lately, what they do is try to destroy their opposition, despite the reality, despite the facts. To call Ronnie Earl a fanatical partisan when he's, you know, prosecuted 12 out of the 15 cases he's prosecuted, 12 of them have been Democrats, is indeed the politics of personal destruction.
All right, and let me get your response to that.
First of all, I think I am giving facts and not throwing around charges like Brad just did. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, I mentioned briefly, and in that case, days after a United States Senator was elected, Ronnie Earl raided her offices without a warrant, grabbed boxes of documents, and for 1 year goes around publicly accusing her of being a criminal. When it came time for the trial, the prosecutor shows up and he said, no, not ready to face yet. And the judge said you can't just keep going around calling someone a criminal. You have to make the case or not make the case. And Kay Bailey, he directed an acquittal of Kay Bailey Hutchinson to put an end to this. As for the number of Democrat prosecutors, and in addition, the prosecutor has been showing up at Democratic fundraisers, calling Tom DeLay a bully and saying he'll be the one to get him. He's been cooperating with documentary producers on the case against Tom DeLay. Well, there's no documentary movie if he doesn't indict Tom DeLay.
Now, let me just bring up one point.
Let me get to the final point.
Okay.
And that is on all the Democrats. By itself frees Ronnie Earle from the taint of politics after everything else I've mentioned. I mean, for one thing, up until 5 minutes ago, all politicians in Texas were Democrats. If you look at the Democrats he prosecuted, for one thing, some of them were Zell Miller Democrats. But most importantly, they had committed crimes. I mean, I'm not saying that Ronnie Earle is so political that when a Democrat politician takes bribes, he will not be prosecuted. I mean, these were people who went to trial, were convicted, had to strike plea bargains. If you're a Democrat in Texas and you commit a crime, yes, you'll be prosecuted. The point is, Ronnie Earle will prosecute Republicans whether or not they committed a crime.
Why is it when Democrats commit crimes that are prosecuted by Ronnie Earle, they're crimes, but when Tom DeLay does so, you have no interest in it whatsoever, and it's a partisan witch hunt. I mean, you guys have so many standards for what's right now in this country, and now that you're really just drunk with power, it seems, in every house, whether it's the Senate, whether it's the House, Bill Frist. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, we will.
The White House outing a CIA agent for the first time in American history, and apologists like Ann Coulter come on the air and try to attack the folks who are trying to hold them up to an ethical standard. It's outrageous. And if you really are interested in the rule of law, you'll let this thing move forward, find out exactly what the charges are. Look, there's a reason why there are so many ethics charges have been brought against Tom DeLay, and in fact by a Republican Congress. You know, he has abused his power. A Republican Ethics Committee in Congress has found that was the case three times last year, when Tom DeLay used the Department of Homeland Security to track down airplanes that Democrats were riding on. I mean, what kind of abuse of power is this? And how does Ann get off supporting this morally, ethically, or in any other way?
Now, all right, now let me interrupt for a second, Brad, because one thing, Ann, I want to ask you about is Dick Morris, who yesterday in his syndicated column essentially turned on Tom DeLay. And you know, from one day to the next, you're not necessarily sure which team Dick Morris is playing for, understandably. But he said that Tom DeLay, you know, may or may not be guilty of this, you know, of funneling of corporate money to Texas interests. But what he was guilty of was circumventing the democratic process by using those funds to gerrymander the state of Texas so Republicans can win back a majority. Surprising to hear that from Dick Morris.
Well, I don't really care about the source one way or another. I disagree with it. I didn't read the column, but what had happened was, because as I say, up until 10 minutes ago, the only Republican in Texas was Phil Graham. That was a solid Democratic state. Because of the gerrymandering done by Democrats, in presidential election after presidential election, the Republican would win in Texas by, you know, like 65% to 35%. Every 4 years, 65% for the Republican. Meanwhile, it was basically the reverse in the House of Representatives. That is the result of gerrymandering. When 65% of Texans are voting for the Republican overall, but you have 70% of the delegation, 80% of the delegation are Democrats, that's drawing districts precisely so you can get the maximum possible number of Democrats in office. If Tom DeLay had gerrymandered it such that Republicans were getting, you know, 100% of the seats, whereas only 70% of Texans are voting for the Republican, that would be gerrymandering in the reverse. But when you just get it back to representing the citizens of Texas, it's not gerrymandering, it is democracy.
All right. Now, Brad, let me ask you about a couple of things with respect to Ronnie Earle, the prosecutor who has indicted Tom DeLay. There's an interesting piece in the National Review online talking about how Mr. Earle quotes the Bible and says that the evil influence of money has to be driven from politics. And he's very biblical in his descriptions about this. As Ann said, he's had a documentary crew following him around as he developed the case against Tom DeLay. All the documentarians themselves said they began this process 2 years ago before they knew indictments like this were coming. But various other accounts suggest that, you know, the whole DeLay process has been the thing that they were most interested in filming, suggesting to some an ulterior motive.
Well, I mean, was the House Ethics Committee also making a documentary? Is that why they found him, you know, guilty of three various ethics charges last year, including attempting to bribe a congressman on the floor of the U.S. House?
Ann, what were you saying?
Well, why? They didn't find him guilty of anything. I mean, at least let's argue about what the facts actually are.
They haven't found him. They haven't censured him for three different ethics violations in the ethics committee. Ann,
no, he got a little tap on the wrist for one, but all of them were dismissed. Every single one of them.
That's not true. He was found in violation three different times for using the Homeland Security to track down Democrats down in the state of Texas. For attempting to bribe a congressman and promising that he would not endorse his son unless he voted for the Medicare bill.
I mean, these are three times,
and you're acting as if this didn't happen.
I will just recommend to the listeners, go on to Google and look up how the Ethics Committee disposed of these various ethics complaints.
All right, let me take a break on that note. When we come back, we're going to continue with Ann Coulter and Brad Friedman. We're going to take your calls as well at 1-866-8974-RON. It's 1-866-8974-766. We're talking about a series of allegations against the congressional Republican leadership. Not only the merits of these claims, but also how will it affect the Bush administration's second-term agenda. 1-866-8974-RON. We should point out to you, by the way, that this hour is brought to you by Equifax.com. Protect yourself from identity theft. Go to Equifax.com. We're coming back in just a moment.
The Ron and Sana Show.
And we're back on the Ron and Sana Show. We are talking about this week's hot topic, which, of course, is the indictment of House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, forcing him to step aside temporarily from his rather powerful position in the House of Representatives, and the insider trading investigation of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. Joining us now to debate the merits of these allegations and what they mean to the Bush administration's second-term agenda, still Ann Coulter, a conservative commentator you well know and author of How to Talk to a Liberal If You Must, and the liberal she must talk to, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, who joins us as well. We're taking your calls at 1-866-8974-RON, 1-866-8974-4766. And let me ask you about Bill Frist. I mean, his office has maintained that he is innocent of any wrongdoing with respect to the sale of stock in the company his family started out of a blind trust. But the sale came not too long before a major earnings warning that drove the stock down rather considerably. I mean, I imagine you can understand why people might look at this with a somewhat jaundiced eye.
Oh, right, sure. I mean, people buy and sell stock all the time. When the stock goes up after they sell, everything is fine. If the stock goes down, yes, that always raises eyebrows. What I think should cause people's eyebrows to go down here, I mean, you want to look at the timing of these things and, you know, when he knew what. Well, obviously, he's going about the process of selling stocks for a presidential race, and he began the process of selling the stock back in April. Well, back in April, the stock was flying high. There was no inside information to come about what was going to happen, you know, 6 months hence. It takes a while for, you know, the blind trust and the lawyers to figure out, does he need to sell it? Does he sell it? It's just a long bureaucratic process. So once you know that he started to sell it, and first made the move toward it back in April when the stock was fine, I think eyebrows can go down now.
Brad, do you accept that explanation, or is it too close to the earnings warning for it to ring true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, I'm just sort of sitting here just astounded at the apologists like Ann Coulter, who just seem to excuse every sort of everything, and with these sort of Clintonian parsing of facts and figures to suit their argument. I mean, it was clear that Bill Frist, who lied about not knowing what was in this blind trust, he absolutely knew what was in the blind trust. He received notices all the time about what was in the blind trust. And, you know,
what I said has nothing to do with anything. That isn't what I said. That has nothing to do with anything. Yes, he knew what was in the blind trust. The point is...
But you can't know what's in the blind trust.
It was a coincidence that he happened to sell it. I mean, it's
how do you explain April? That's my point.
I'm sorry?
How do you explain that he tried to sell it in April when the stock was fine? The earnings report came out, you know, a month ago.
Well, you do want to sell it higher than lower, don't you?
Kept him from selling his stock? That's what you're actually suggesting?
That he was selling it when the company... the idea is he had... The accusation is he had insider information that a stock that is doing well is about to collapse. That would be true if he only decided to sell... you know, days before he actually did sell.
Why is that true, Ann? Why is that true?
Because we know that he tried to sell it back. I mean, you're allowed to
sell. No, but I understand that. But look, having covered the stock market for 21 years, you can know 6 months in advance that a company's going to be heading southward and not have those numbers come out for 6 months. I mean, there are ways to massage earnings reports.
All of the evidence suggests that the insiders themselves didn't know what was going to be happening 6 months later.
Where is that evidence you're talking about, Ann? You seem, once again, to just sort of be pulling things out of thin air the way Bill...
I know you understand this in the case of Arab terrorists, but you do have to produce the evidence of guilt. You don't just make an accusation and say, okay, prove it's not true. The evidence is overwhelming that if you moved to sell it long before the company was in trouble... And for another reason, because he's obviously running for president, you're allowed to sell stock. You're the ones who have to prove that at that point they knew 8 months out, 6 months out, that the stock was going to tank, you know, at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, Brad, I mean, you do have to have material inside information before you can be prosecuted for insider trading.
Well, exactly, and they're looking at that, and we'll see what the evidence is. But to apologize and say that we, you know, shouldn't move forward, and, you know, after Ann has clearly convicted all kinds of folks before any evidence has ever been put forward. She's called, you know, Bill Clinton a felon and a rapist and everything else. I mean, look, let the facts move forward. We'll see what it is. There's nothing to worry about. If it's just a complete coincidence, then we'll find that out. If it's just a complete coincidence that Bill Frist's family hospital settled in the largest Medicare fraud case of in the history of the country 2 days before he became a Senate leader, as reported over at rawstory.com, I guess that's just another coincidence. There was 120 months they've been investigating that case, largest Medicare fraud case in the history of the nation, and 2 days before he was to become Senate leader, that occurred.
And, all right, let me jump in for 1 second here, because hold on 1 second, Brad. I just want to jump in, and I am loath to do this because I know the firestorm a question like this could potentially create. But, you know, Bill Clinton was investigated for Whitewater, which turned out to be a land deal in which he lost money. Along the way, there were allegations that he somehow or had associates who somehow ran a cocaine operation out of the MENA airport in Georgia, all these other things that were thrown out in there that no one ever proved, and yet he was never given the benefit of the doubt as that prosecution went on. Ultimately, it was sexual misconduct and lying that forced him to be impeached.
What do you mean? Of course he was given the benefit of the doubt. And by the way, I've moved on from Clinton, but I...
Well, I'm just drawing parallels. I'm not...
Brad's point that Clinton was innocent, but saying I'm making Clintonian excuses, I think I'm just citing facts, and I'm getting a lot of hysteria from the other side.
All right, I have to stop you both there. We're going to come back and do more of this. The number is 1-866-8974-RON, 1-866-8974-766. More on the ethics investigations of the GOP when the Ron and Sana Show continues after this.
Insana. Insana. We're talking money, power, and politics on the Ron and Sana Show.
And welcome back to the Ron and Sana Show. This week's hot topic, of course, the ethics and investigations, the ethical investigations, I should say, of the Republican leadership in Congress, whether it's House Majority Leader Tom DeLay or Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, got a couple of key Republican congressmen in hot water, something that may very well threaten the second-term agenda of President Bush. Now, we are talking to Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. He is a liberal who, in the last half hour, went up against Ann Coulter, a conservative commentator and author of How to Talk to a Liberal If You Must, and has some other obligations this half hour, but Brad has agreed to stay with us. We're taking your calls at 1-866-8974-RON, 1-866-8974-766, to find out what you think about these charges against the two top Republican leaders in Congress. And, Brad, just before we go to our phones right now, I just want to point out that we did, as Ann suggested, do a little search here on what happened with respect to the House ethics investigation of Tom DeLay back in 2004. And NPR's Andrea Seabrook, in her writings, pointed out that Ed Bethune, a former Arkansas congressman who was Tom DeLay's attorney in the case, pointed out at the time that the committee issued no censure, levied no fine or other sanction that meant that the charges were, in essence, and we're quoting here, dismissed. The public admonishments, according to Mr. DeLay's lawyers, were only slaps on the wrist necessitated by the politicized environment in which the committee worked. The other complaint, which now has turned into this indictment out of Texas, the ethics committee on that chose to defer judgment. So Ann was essentially right that there was no formal censure of Tom DeLay.
Was admonished three times. He's the Republican majority leader, and he was admonished three times by the Republican-run Ethics Committee in the House. That's just a fact. That other charge you're talking about was deferred because of the criminal prosecution that was moving forward on the case.
For which he's now been indicted, yes, I understand that. But, I mean, words do matter. I mean, is there a difference, a legitimate difference between admonishment and censure in the House?
Well, I'm sorry that Ann decided not to stay with us.
Well, it was always planned that she'd be here a half hour, I should point out.
Okay, well, yeah. Because I understand that she is or used to be a constitutional attorney, and perhaps she could point that out to us, the difference between the two. But in fact, he was admonished, and as thanks for that, Tom DeLay went ahead and replaced just about everyone on that ethics committee with his cronies. And when I say cronies, I mean folks who have given him thousands and thousands of dollars to defend his legal positions. And therefore, the ethics committee hasn't moved forward at all in this second term because they're at a complete standstill, as if there are no ethics problems in Washington. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, this Tom DeLay and Bill Frist stuff is really just the tip of the iceberg for not just this administration, but this entire party. I'm sure you may have heard that the federal auditors yesterday said that the Bush administration violated law by purchasing news coverage.
It's in the papers this morning, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and disseminating, quote, covert propaganda. That's the Bush administration, and even that is just the tip of the iceberg.
I'm going to come back to that point in a second. Let me just go to the phones real quick, because we got Jeff on the line from Chelsea, Mass., who's listening to us on 96.9 FM Talk WTKK. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Oh, yes. Now, as far as this Tom DeLay case is concerned, what about Hillary Clinton and Cattlegate? There's a book out called Unlimited Access by Gary Aldridge that shows the kind of people that Clinton let into the White House. Now, I'm not trying to be partisan here. I'm just saying that if you're going to indict people, indict across the board. The left-wing media gives Democrats a break, while Republicans, independents, and free thinkers are left out to dry if they blow their nose the wrong way.
I mean, being a member of the media and not being left-wing, not being right-wing, but actually being pretty much down the middle, I mean, the remaining hair that I have on my head stands up with comments like that because, you know, if you look at the coverage of Bill Clinton during his presidency, it's not like he got a pass. But Brad, with respect to Cattlegate, I mean, there are open questions about that trade that some people alleged was just nothing more than a what they call an allocated trade that gave Hillary Clinton the profits of $100,000 on a $1,000 investment and switched the losses to somebody else. Those were the charges at the time, and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange never released the records, so no one ever knew what happened.
Well, first off, let me say I'm still waiting to figure out who that left-wing media is that he's talking about because I haven't found him out there. But that said, look, I'm interested in giving no one a break. If something was done wrong, if Hillary Clinton did something wrong, I got news for your caller. For 5 years, the Department of Justice has been run by the Bush administration and Republicans, and if she did something wrong, indict, prosecute. It's about the rule of law, and unlike Ann, and I hate to mention it since she's not here, but, you know, these are facts that are about right and wrong. They're not about left and right. And, you move forward with prosecution, you hold these guys accountable no matter who they are. I don't care which party they are. Apparently a lot of Republicans seem only interested in the rule of law when they're coming down on Democrats.
It's true both ways, though, isn't it? I mean, and I hate to resort to an argument like this, but good God, I mean, this is all we've seen now for years, where it's just It's just about getting the other guy. It's not about policy anymore.
Well, I think it's horrible. I think what's happened to this country is horrible. I think folks like Ann Coulter, in no small part, are responsible for that. That division is right and left nonsense, is red and blue nonsense. This is not good for the country. I'm not in favor of that. I mean,
yeah, Paul Krugman does the same thing in the New York Times, though.
Well, there's never been a good economic environment. Paul Krugman defend himself.
Yeah.
But it's not good when anybody does it. It's not a partisan case. You know, I'll be more than happy to beat up on Democrats. I do all the time. And, you know, I'm not in there defending any particular party. I'm in favor of America and for Republicans who, you know, run around with their stickers on the back of their SUVs saying, you know, United we stand, to, you know, put divisiveness, dividing the country above all, and put party above all, above truth and above the rule of law. I think it's atrocious.
All right, let me go to Ben out in Texas. Hi, Ben, what's on your mind?
Oh, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I just wanted to say that as far as like whether or not this is going to hurt the Republican agenda, I think it will slow it down. If you've ever cooked spaghetti, I know it's kind of a bad analogy, but...
Well, you're talking to a Sicilian here, so I think I'll get it.
Okay. If you cook spaghetti, you know, a lot of times you take spaghetti out of the pot, you throw it against the wall. If it sticks, then you're ready to go. If it doesn't stick, you put it back on simmer and everybody has to wait to eat.
You know, I'll tell you something. We never did that in my house. I mean, you know, I know Felix Unger did it in The Odd Couple, but that was out of anger, not out of testing the temperature. What do you think about that, Brad? I mean, is that the way this is going to work? We'll still see the Bush administration, now that his approval ratings are actually starting to go back up, make some headway on the second portion of his domestic agenda.
Well, we'll see about those approval ratings going back up. I think you might be a little bit early to say that.
Well, they're back to where they were pre-Katrina, about 45% approval as of today.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as I mentioned in the previous segment, this stuff with the frisk and delay is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the thing that really, I got to tell you, really irks me, having spoken with so many Iraqi vets and so many folks in the CIA and so forth, that the Karl Rove and Scooter Libby now clearly outed a CIA agent, a covert CIA agent, you know, putting national security at risk. That's something that even George W. Bush father called, you know, the most insidious of traitors who would do that. For a White House to do that, the first time in history, and somebody, mind you, who was working on WMD, I got to tell you, that is just so atrocious, so appalling, and that's the sort of thing that jumps out at me when you hear these guys running around talking about national security and how much they care about it. To out a covert CIA agent, our own assets, unprecedented, and that's going to be coming forward soon. We'll see what Fitzgerald releases. I think this week we may see more indictments.
Yeah, and Judith Miller of the New York Times just testified. So let me take a break on that note. We're going to come back and talk more about investigations into top congressional Republicans. What does it mean, and what do you think the people indicting and investigating are up to? The number to call is 1-866-8974-RON, 1-866-8974-766. We're coming back in just a moment.
The Ron Insana Show.
And we're back on the Ron Insana Show. We are talking about the ethics investigations into some of the top Republicans in Congress. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, temporarily out of a job as he is indicted by a Texas district attorney for allegedly funneling corporate funds to Texas state legislators in order to get them into Congress, something that clearly violates Texas statutes, and also an insider trading investigation of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. Did he sell shares of his family's company stock before the stock plunged, and did he know the stock was going to take a dive because the company was going to miss an earnings target for the latest quarter? We're talking about this now with Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com. You could make this a little easier to say for some of us in the media, you know, but you haven't. And that's why we're going to hold that against you for the remainder of the show.
You can.
When we're taking everybody's calls at 1-866-897-4766. Now, you've been using the expression tip of the iceberg here, and you started talking about some other things that you think are a big deal. What do you think is going on that you're most worried about? You mentioned the alleged outing of a CIA agent that Scooter Libby and Karl Rove are being looked at for. What do you think Judith Miller of the New York Times, who's just gotten out of prison after 4 months, is telling investigators in this?
Well, it seems that from reports, and I frankly try not to speculate, but the reports that I've seen is that she's now testifying that, in fact, Scooter Libby, out of Dick Cheney's office, was the one who told her that Joe Wilson's wife was a covert CIA agent. It's so troubling because these guys seem willing to do anything and everything to retain their, frankly, tenuous hold on power right now.
Now, why would Scooter Libby, though, the Dick Cheney's chief of staff, finally give Judith Miller permission to testify if things were as bad as people think?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. Again, I would have to speculate, and I really do try to avoid speculating.
As do I. Unless it's in the commodity there, markets.
That is even itself the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you see so much corruption going on in the Republican Party right now. It seems to me to be unprecedented, and it seems that folks, partisans, like Ann Coulter and so forth, and just look, good American Republicans ought to be calling right now for indictments, for folks to step down, because this is not good for the Republican Party. For years, you've had a president who has not been good for conservatives, frankly. He runs around calling himself a conservative, but he is anything but conservative. And, that's not good for the conservative movement, the true conservative movement, and what's going on right now is not good for the Republican Party.
Let me ask you something, though, about
this stuff for years to come.
The corruption being unprecedented. I mean, I never use that word, because there have been Democratic administrations that have been equally corrupt, if someone wants to make a comparison. And I'm not saying that the Bush administration is. I'm just saying that, there is no such thing as unprecedented amounts of corruption in the history of either American or world politics.
Well, I got to tell you, I think there is. I mean, in many ways, it's the amount of corruption and the number of scandals that's really keeping these guys afloat right now, because folks like me out there in the blogosphere trying to keep up with all of this, we can't stick on any one topic for any length of time because a new one comes up. And it is a fact that it is unprecedented what this White House has done, outing one of their own CIA assets.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay, let me go to Brian out in Worcester, Mass. Hi, Brian. Brian, you there?
Good afternoon.
Hi, go ahead.
Brad, I guess you would expect Brad and other guests to be partisan, and then, of course, there is a lot of partisanship that goes on right now. But, we hear so many times the liberal media, and it certainly is, and I think anybody that suggests that it's not really is not looking at it in an objective fashion. And I'll give you one example. We talk about the Bill Frist trading situation.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to dig awfully hard to come up with anything that the media reported on Hillary Clinton's trade of the pharmaceuticals in terms of her shorting pharmaceutical stocks.
All right, now where did that come up, and where did you get the information on that? Real quick, because I'm going to have to take a break.
Well, I mean, again, you'd have to dig pretty hard. But that's,
I mean, I've been in the financial news business for 20 years, and I was following this stuff then, and I don't recall that allegation.
So, Ryan, I believe that she traded... she shorted some pharmaceutical stocks that was before she gave her speech saying that there should be drug price controls.
All right, I've got to take a break there. We're going to come back and talk about that with Brad Friedman. We've got your calls on the line. If you're there, stay with us. It's 1-866-897-4766. We'll come back with that allegation and allegations of misdeeds by top Republicans right after this.
The Ron Insana Show. Insana Show.
And we're wrapping up this hour of the Ron Insana Show, talking about the ethics investigations of top congressional Republicans and also talking about some investigations that may have been missed of Democrats. We're still with Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. And Brad, before we took a break here, and rather quickly, we had a caller come in and make an allegation that Hillary Clinton was selling short stocks of pharmaceutical companies prior to her speech on health care, calling for price caps on drugs. I don't recall that allegation myself, having been in financial news at the time. I don't know if you do, but, something like that did happen. It would require an investigation as well.
Well,
although the statute of limitations has gone on that one. But.
Well, yeah, of course it would. But, for 5 years, the Bush Department has run both the SEC and the Department of Justice. And you think if there was something there, they would move forward. And if there was something there, guess what? I would be in favor of moving forward. So, again, not a matter of right or left, a matter of right and wrong.
As any objective person would be, yeah.
Yeah, his argument that, about this liberal media, I mean, the media media was ferocious in their coverage of Bill Clinton and Al Gore, and George W. Bush has largely gotten a pass from these guys.
Well, I wouldn't go along with that either, but I mean, you know, I don't think anybody really gets a pass if an opportunity presents itself to the news media to go whole hog on a story. Let me just sneak in one more call, Bart.
Well, I disagree. I can come back sometime and talk about specifics because I hate the level charges unless I can back them up.
Yep.
I'll be happy to back that up another time.
We will do that another time. Marvin, let me hear what you have to say today.
Okay. I was listening earlier in the show and couldn't help but be concerned a little bit about Congressman Blay, how he feels that he's been cleared of all of these ethics charges.
And you live in his state, right?
Yes, and in fact, he has been admonished several times by the House Ethics Committee. I bet there's not another member of Congress that has been admonished more than once.
All right, let me stop you there. Go ahead, real quick, because I'm running out of time.
Okay, one other thing, and that is the fact that he tried to change the rules of the...
All right, we're losing them a little bit. Brad, let me just get your final thoughts on this. We've got about 45 seconds left.
Yeah, he did try to change the rules in the Ethics Committee so that they wouldn't come back to bite him, and though he had to reverse some of the changes he tried to make, he had changed the staff of the Ethics Committee to the point where they're completely crippled and they can't move forward with any of this stuff. You know, it's just a culture of corruption. It really is, and it's not just in Washington for these Republicans right now. Ohio is a snake pit, if you pay attention, states all around the country, and it's really going to harm the Republican Party, which, by the way, does not help America in any way. So I'm not happy to see it at all. Despite folks who might label me a partisan Democrat, I am not. And I haven't voted Democrat for president for I don't know how long.
All right, Brad, we're going to leave it there. We'll catch up with you again soon, hopefully match you with Ann Coulter again for some more fun. That is it for this hour of the Ron and Sana Show. You can catch me on CNBC Street Signs Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 Eastern, where it's mostly money. Here, though, it's money, power, and politics. This is the Ron and Sana Show on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Sana.